Welcome back. I was off my headphones for a minute. Thank Lord for engineer Krista Flores. I first knew James Finn Garner when he became something of a sensation with the publication of his first book, a bestseller named Politically Correct Bedtime Stories. Then we got to know each other better through Bard Ball and through the Chicago literary community, which is a vast and healthy and not at all backstabbing bunch. He is now devoting many of his efforts to having created a sort of video series called Inside for Indies, an effort to raise money to help the independent bookstores that, like many other businesses, are struggling. Jim, how are you?
I'm great, Rick. How are you?
Good. I got to ask you something. We've known each other for a long time, and I remember what a huge bestseller Politically Incorrect Bedtime Stories was in 1994. Did that spoil you? Because it really was a huge success, wasn't it?
Well, it depends on spoil, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm getting a foot massage right now, but it's a Sunday thing, and I need it.
Yeah, I know.
It's
an awfully good way to start a career, and you've been a real force on the local scene. You can go to Jim's website, of course, which is James Finn, F-I-N-N, Garner, G-A-R-N-E-R.com, and find out a bunch more stuff about him and order his books and buy his books and then read his books. How did this idea come to you? This is an idea, Jim, that years ago would have been born perhaps in a bar room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Those are my favorite ones.
Mine too.
Back in April, I was talking to Susie Takich up at the bookseller in Lincoln Square.
Wonderful bookstore.
And she was very, very worried. The lockdown had been going on for about 6 weeks, and she just did not think she was going to keep the business going.
Oh.
You know, so much money comes from, like, live appearances and live events and the cafe and the store and stuff. So I started talking to certain writers around town, and we came up with the idea of everyone is locked down in their own house at that point, but writers are locked down all the time.
Yeah.
So why don't we take people into writers' workspaces and walk around their office and
really
see what the quirks and the things that are going on in their offices? And with that, we raise awareness of the needs of independent bookstores, not just in Chicago but all across the country.
Yeah, it's a very, very persuasive series, and we'll have the great Ben Anderson will have all the links on this show's website. How hard was it to launch? I mean, I'm sure you didn't call, you know, in the old days you might have called Royko and he would say, no way. But I am sure that everyone was enthusiastic about this, everyone you've asked, and you're still asking. I mean, it's an ongoing thing, is it not?
Yes, we are going to keep it going. And everybody said, yeah, if Susie's involved, count me in, because somebody said she was like the George Bailey of the Chicago book world.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we're reaching out more, and we're reaching out to different people. And I hope to keep putting up three a week like I've been doing, and we'll see how far we can go with it.
There is a means of donating to various things on the site, right? When you go to YouTube, you know, I'm a technological idiot. I just went on and, like, looked at them and go, wow, I know that guy. That guy's been on my radio show. That guy's been here. Did any of them surprise you?
You may have
been in, you know, because I don't have a workspace. Because I do. I have a manufactured, jerry-rigged workspace now that I can't get in the Tribune offices to write. Mm-hmm. But did any of them surprise you? Any of them make you jealous?
Well, one or two. One woman lived high above the Field Museum, looking down. It was just quite a view, but I wouldn't have never get anything done in Rachel DeWaskin's workspace.
Right.
The most fascinating one so far has been Bob Eckstein, who is a cartoonist for The New Yorker and many other places, and he is working on a book on whaling ships. So he decorated his office in his retreat in Pennsylvania as a whaling ship. So there are portholes and barometers and harpoons and a penguin on his desk. So it's kind of, you know,
cool.
It's a lot of energy going into that room.
Yeah, it's kind
of,
in a word, it's cool. You know, I also what I also found was that many of the people, I'm thinking Christine Sneed, and I'm thinking a couple others, are proud to have the camera in there, even though most of them are filming it themselves. There was a real pride of place, didn't you find, Jim?
Yes, it was. You know, we're there all the time. We're stuck in the offices, yeah. And it's kind of like, and our biggest barrier is ourselves. So it's like if we can't make the office work for us, it's pointless. So she has made her office work for it, and she's got it's clean. She has a standing desk. She has one gargoyle on the table that is her. You know, her the bad thoughts in her head come from the gargoyle, and that's all. You know, other people have. Yeah, you know, they're working in closets. One woman built a shed 8x8 in her garden in the back, and yeah. She keeps the thing heated. She lives in Canada, so it's like she keeps the bloody thing heated. But she likes to go out there, and she works in this thing where you couldn't lay across. But it's, you know, it's her space, and she's very proud of it.
How does the site work to help raise money?
Through the videos, it'll give you a link to both the GoFundMe for the bookseller and also for the Book Industry Charitable Foundation, which is run by the American Booksellers Association. So I'd like to emphasize that, like, a lot of bookstores have direct funding sure. apparatuses because, you know, sales are great and gift cards are great, but also the margin on books is very, very small. Ooh. And you can't let more than four people in the store at a time now, or four yeah. or five. Yeah. So reach out to your favorite stores, the neighborhood stores you love so much, like Bookies down in Beverly, or Looking Glass at Oak Park, or Semicolon over in Fulton Market area, and see what they're doing for direct donations, because, you know, $50 here and there is really going to help them get through the summer, because we need them to be there on the other side of all this nonsense.
Well, don't you remember a decade or two ago, or 15 years ago, we may have even talked about this, that they were really, you know, the doom and gloom was descending on the independent bookstore world because Kindle and other ventures and big mega stores were going to kill the independent bookstores. But I think in the last 10 years, I have seen, and tell me if I'm wrong, Jim, because you're out a bit more than I, have seen not just a resurgence, but the independent bookstore scene has gotten kind of healthier, and then this happens. Am I wrong about that? Did you think it was healthy?
Oh, you're spot on. I mean, yeah. I think of the bookstores that are less than 5 years old, and
yeah, exactly.
Madison Street Books.
Right.
You know, and
Volumes, which opened the, you know, Volumes, which is on Milwaukee Avenue, and then they opened a kind of little store in a mall on Michigan Avenue, and I thought, wow, now that's terrific. I haven't seen a bookstore on Michigan Avenue, and Stuart Brent left, yeah. and I thought yeah. that was a great sign, and then this has to happen.
Yeah, it is knocking them out for a loop, but they're really tenacious stores. I did a little research before we went on the air and found that in the last 10 years, like 2009 to 2019, we added 35% more independent bookstores nationwide.
Wow, so my anecdotal observations seem to be correct. That's great. And you're right that it is a very, very kind of tiny margin that on which these stores operate. And it's tough. Tough to do.
Yeah, but think of the things that we get when we go there, the local, yep. the reading series, the book clubs. You know, people join book clubs and they gather at the store. They have local artists exhibiting in the stores. And it's such a hub. It's such a community hub that we're going to be so sad if we let any of these pass away. And Chicago is chock with them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we're really fortunate for what we've got here.
I agree. In a couple of minutes, we'll take a little commercial break, and afterward, I'm going to play you, thanks to Krista Flores, his genius, a little clip of one of the books. And you, but go to the site; it'll be posted on this. I tell you, can people just go to YouTube and search for "Inside for Indies," and will it drive them to that thing or to your yeah. website?
Inside for Indies is a channel, you know, so it's a collection
of
our videos. So just search for that, and they should find about a dozen right now and more in the pipeline. So,
You chose friends mostly, right? Well, it can't just be only people you admire. You hit up your friends first, right?
My friends are very talented and generous.
Yes, they are, like John Eigen, Brian Grueley, and Randy Richardson, Don Evans. The great thing is I've had virtually all of those guys on the radio show, and I, you know, being an author is not an easy thing, too. I mean, it's an independent bookstore struggle, but so do authors. That's why some of, like, Renee Rosen's place, for instance, was, like, really beautiful. I mean, I thought, wow, what a nice place to live. Didn't you?
Yeah, Yeah, it's good to be married to somebody who's making money. I don't know Rene very well, but it's like authors need a little support now and then.
Yes,
but
they do.
Your point before about like no backstabbing for people, it's like Christine Sneed has moved to California,
right?
And a few years ago, so it's like, but we still reach out to her, and she was so, oh yeah, we're all good friends, and we've known each other for a long time. So that's part of the community among us all here.
Well, I think that's been true of Chicago. Since, there were some, Nelson Algren jealousies here and there in my father's day, but it's always been true of Chicago. I think Chicago in the last 20 years has been a very, very nurturing place for writers. You found that to be true.
Yeah, I when I'm feeling a little bit stuck in my writing, I've gone out and done a lot of readings.
Yeah,
And it's like, because that really frees me up. That's how I started writing well, was when I was performing, and so the reading series kind of makes that connection. And I meet people who are 20 years younger than me, 30 years younger than me, and we can talk about stuff and see what's going on.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful community. We're going to take a short commercial break, and when we come back, we'll continue on with James Finn Garner, who I call Jim, and he'll tell us some of the other authors who opened their offices to allow you, a potential donor to the bookseller and other independent bookstores, to have a look at where they work. And not just a look at where they work. It's not like, here is my TV, this is my desk. They talk a lot about the importance of independent bookstores and about how they work and what they do. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. James Finn Garner. That's James, FINNGARNER.com is the website. Jim Garner is on the phone. We're talking about his effort that he has started, and many others are collaborating with him to start trying to raise money not only for the beloved bookstore and bar kind of in Lincoln Square, but also the American Booksellers Association and any bookstore, independent bookstore in your neighborhood. There are hard times out there, and what he has done is, on YouTube, there's a channel called Inside for Indies, in which you can visit the workspaces of a number of notable, many local. Tom Dijah is one of the big names. How do you know Tom, Jim?
Tom, I know from a long time. He's married to my former agent.
Oh, that'll do. that's a close tie. I met him in a bar. I met him in a saloon somewhere. One is, the other thing that's, we're talking about, independent bookstores sort of popping up pleasantly over the last 10, 15 years. Also, there are a lot of new independent publishers, too, and that's why I was happy to see Rick Camford, who's started Eckhart's Press with his partner, and writes books too about Cubs and Jim Garner is a. I got to talk to you about Bardball before this is over. But yeah. Let's all go. Let's you and me, Jim, and the listeners go inside Rick Camford's lair. Rick Camford also published one of his most recent books. The autobiography of our newsman here, Roger Badish. It's called The Unplanned Life. He does not talk about that, but here's Rick Camper.
Hello there. Come on in. I'm Rick Camper. I'm an indie author, indie publisher. I went to Indie once. Didn't really like it, but I am uniquely qualified to talk to you about indie bookstores. We're going through a tough time right now, and we're here to support them, and we're doing Inside for Indies. I'm going to show you a little bit about what I do. Show you some of the books I've written, show you my office, and let's take a look. Those are props. These are the actual books. Father Knows Nothing, Green Voice 4, Records Truly is My Middle Name, Severance, The Living Wheels, The Radio Producer's Handbook, and Every Cub Ever. I'll tell you a little bit more about Every Cub Ever in just a second. Here are some of my awards. Yes, I won a silver microphone, but I only kept this because of this little typo down here, which I think is hilarious. National. They misspelled it on the plaque. You had one job, Jenkins. Over here we have my prized possession, my 1955 Grundig radio. Isn't this awesome? Doesn't work. But doesn't it look pretty? Thank you. This guitar here was given to me by Jim Peterick from... Survivor and Ides of March. and I do not know how to play it. Right behind here, my little Beatles wall. Big Beatles fan. Look at this. How many people do you know that have an autograph of Pete Best, the drummer who was kicked out of the Beatles? I don't have any actual Beatles. And over here, some of my books, some of the events that I have done. This one here, I did not do. And you can see, take a look at my calendar, you can see how busy I am here in May. This has really been difficult for us. So I used to have my office in the basement with no natural light. Now that I'm an old man and I have these classes, I have it right by the window. I've got four bookshelves in the house in various different locations. I don't want to show them to you because the house is a mess. I'm also a podcaster. I actually very rarely leave this little area right here because even my broadcast can come from here. Look on that little thing and look at the fancy lights. It's all recorded right here. My microphone, I've got a guest there.
You have just been visiting with Rick Kemper in his office. Rick's pretty good at that, Jim Garner. Jim Garner who started that. Jim Garner who convinced Rick Kemper to do it for his Inside for Indies video channel on YouTube. Just see, go to Inside for Indies. It's helping to raise money for specifically the bookseller in Lincoln Square, but also for the American Booksellers Association and trying to, you know, to sort of spur you to donate to whatever is your local independent bookstores. Most of the ones I've seen, and there are probably about two dozen up there, close to two dozen, aren't there, Jim? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Most of them are remarkably self-effacing, don't you find?
We're not the most arrogant people in the world, though.
Well, but I think people would expect, well, yes, this is my quill pen, and this is how I write. They're fun.
As they've accumulated, it's been very heartwarming because they're all trying to do the same thing, and they all write in a completely different way, you know, and some coming from one direction or another. And they talk about keeping the cat at bay, you know, out of their house. I just put I posted one tonight of Keir Graff, basically, it looks like he's stuck behind prison bars, you know, out his window. And he's hilarious. He's walking through all the little items in his house, and he's, oh, these are the half marathon medals I won. These are the size of a salad plate. So I've got two. I need six more so I can have a whole set. So I can have
What direction do you give them? You call Keir and say, Keir, I'd like you to, because they vary in length. Some are, you know, a couple minutes. Some are 8, 9. What direction do you give them, Jim Garner?
I just tell them, you know, be yourself, show what you love, why are you in this space, what distracts you, what inspires you, and then read us a passage, some people do, mm-hmm. of a book that really inspires you, and just, like, let everybody in, and, you know, because it really knocks, if you think we're in a rarefied group, this will knock that supposition out of your head.
Yeah, no question. Which is one of the reasons I think the value of author readings in independent bookstores. I think there's still a stigma that every writer is either, you know, Edgar Allan Poe or Hunter Thompson or something.
Yeah.
And you get to know the authors, and I think that's been one of the great attributes of independent bookstores. These gatherings of authors, and you get to know, wow, he's like, that person's like a real person.
With your problems and your happinesses and everything.
Let me ask, I got to ask you about Bard Ball. Tell people what Bard Ball is and why it started.
Bard Ball started about 11 years ago. It is a website for crappy baseball poetry, which newspapers always used to publish during the season because there was a big appetite for it. This is 100 years ago.
Yeah.
They would have a poem about Babe Ruth being really fat but hitting home runs, you know, that kind of thing. And we started it first by about a dozen limericks about Barry Bonds and his chemically enhanced body. And since then, through the baseball season, we publish poetry about that season and about, you know, it's not highfalutin stuff. It's just very down and dirty stuff about,
sure,
you know, baseball. And also songs written by people like Dan Byrne or cartoons and things like that. And just to I really, really hate poems about playing catch with Dad. You know, I really hate them, or the smell of the grass. It's like, I don't need that. You know,
right.
We were really big on poems about trauma to a man's
the dark side of baseball. Is it up now? I mean, what kind of thing? And if so, what are you getting, or what might you expect in this truncated, weird baseball season?
We're kind of reaching into the larder a bit, you know,
like
what's in the back shelf. But we've had a bunch of good poems about historic figures, like Cap Anson and Comiskey and things like that. Really wonderful poems. Limericks about Mickey Mantle, and now we're doing the ones about, like, what's... Quintana cutting his thumb on his plate. You know, that's got to be commemorated, and we did that with a limerick. You know, just to rub it in.
You at one point had a collection, did you not, of Bart Baugh? I thought I hosted something at El Hardeen one year that had to do with Bart Baugh. Yes.
Oh, you know what El Hardeen was? That was with Don Evans, and we started the Cubby Blues reading series.
That's right.
That was about 2006 or 7. And a lot of people, that's where I met a lot of writers, and we had the book collected of all the poetry of 100 years of Cubs frustration in that book. And it's funny, like, the Cubs won in 2016,
yeah,
and then the quality of the poetry fell off. It really did.
That's interesting.
You
that's
know, it's
really
human nature, I guess. But.
Yeah. You looking forward to the baseball season?
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, if I want a sport where young men are going to injure themselves for my amusement, there's always football.
Yeah, no kidding. How are you dealing with this lockdown stuff? I mean, most writers, I think, most professional writers, not tied to a specific publication, are better suited to this than most others who drive a cab or work a punch press or go to real work. I mean, are you dealing with it okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've got a bunch of projects that are sort of interrupted now with the video series, but a comic book I was working on and a new novel. And, you know, if only we could not have an orangutan in the White House, I'd have more of an attention span. But you know.
How's Rex Coco? I remember you coming on the show to talk to about Rex Coco. He's like a clown detective. Is he still?
He's a clown detective. He is where the big sleep meets the big top. And I have a new novel.
Great.
I'm working on with Rex. It's called Notoriousness.
Uh-huh.
And we're gonna dig into Rex's origin story.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love Rex.
He become the Avenger that he is.
I love Rex. I think he's a great, great character. Again, ladies and gentlemen, James Finn Garner is the spurring and the creative engine of this project, a YouTube project called Inside for Indies. It takes you, the viewer, inside the lairs of various writers of all stripes, many, many Chicagoans. And it's an effort to raise money for the Bookseller, which is one of the great independent bookstores in this country, but also for the American Booksellers Association, because these are tough times, not only for writers, but for the places that sell the work that writers do. Jim, I really think this is a great thing you're doing.
Thanks, Rick. It's been fun. It's really been gratifying. It's like I get a present. I get a video saying, I just sent up a video to you, and it's like a present. You know,
yeah.
I open it, like, what happens in this person's, you know, office? And they let me in, and I get to see it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's very, very cool. Krista Flores was watching some of these, the great engineer here, and she's watching. She's going, I'm hooked on this. I really think this is great. I'm going to watch more of these. Watch them. Donate. Read. Jim, it's always good to talk to you, and congratulations. I really think this is an estimable thing you're doing.
Thank you, Rick. It's always great to talk to you.
You too, pal. Take care.